I told you I'd
What do you got?
Hopefully everything working. It's Friday, so you never know. Happy Friday, Madtropolis. We made it. It's the end of the month. This has been a really long month. A really long month. So happy Friday, everybody, and welcome to Mad Gains Live. We are talking about factoring today, and we've got a really broad crowd that's come to hear about factoring. We have a lot of finance people that are joining us today, and we also have a lot of business owners who want to know more about factoring and how to protect their companies. I'm also going to ask our experts to give us some insider knowledge on some of the fraud and some of the unethical things going on so we can be on watch out. And also some of the surprising benefits. And then we're going to open up the floor. And anybody who wants to come on, look for Amanda Miller. She is the one who has all the power. She feeds me questions. She's a broker out of Alabama. She's always helping me when she can. And she also will give you the link if you want the microphone to come on. For those of you who are joining us on Facebook, Twitter, on LinkedIn, which can be a little spotty, I encourage you to go over to YouTube, look in the description of the post, and you'll see the YouTube link. Go over there and hit the subscribe button. Make sure to subscribe so you always know when I drop you guys some more education and live shows. And then make sure you hit the live chat button. That way you can see all the chat. It's a very busy platform and you can make a lot of friends, and you can also learn from people who are experts talking in the comments as well. So what I have for you today is a special show. I have brought to you two experts. One is Ian with Eagle Business Credit. Hi, Ian.
Hey.
Ian, you're in Atlanta, right? Or did I mess up?
Yes.
Okay, very cool. And I think Grace, you're with OTR Capital, and you're in Atlanta as well, right?
That's right. We are
in a locker room.
Yeah, in a locker room.
I'm so happy to have both of you here. Ian, could you give us a little introduction of yourself, and then Grace thereafter, just so we can better understand you guys? I think Ian and I, we spoke back and forth when I was involved with Carrier 401's conference, and that's
how we met. Yep, Ian Varley, CEO of Eagle Business Credit and Cashway Funding. Been in factoring industry 30 years, been in the States, 15 years now. Got my citizenship 10 years ago, so I'm not going back to the UK. Can't make me.
Well, congratulations. We're lucky to have you.
Thank you.
And are you a football fan?
Which football do you mean?
Whichever football you decide.
All right. Yeah, no, I'm into American football now. My son played at high school, so I got the pleasure of being the treasurer of the Touchdown Club, because I couldn't coach because I had no idea what was going on. So I helped on the finance side, which I did understand. Yeah, no, I love it now.
Well, it's definitely, I don't know anything about football, but I always ask people if they're a football fan. And I know it's big in Atlanta. It's big in the South. Grace, are you a football fan?
Yes, absolutely. But you know, my father is a sports broadcaster, so it kind of runs in the family that we love sports and baseball, football, basketball. I love sports in general.
That's very cool. How long have you been with OTR?
I've been with OTR since we started. So our anniversary is this month, 9 years at OTR Capital. Yeah, so I've been here. I'm the VP Director of Operations, but, you know, I've done everything. So in the beginning, you know, we'd sell in the morning and process invoices and collect in the afternoon. So it's been a very fun ride over the past 9 years, and very exciting. So thanks for having us today.
Absolutely. I'm so lucky to have you both. Kevin Nolan introduced me to Grace, and he's become a Madtropolis favorite. Mm-hmm. So I feel very fortunate to have both of you in my life. So the beginning of the show, what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask our experts to peel back the first layer of this complex onion of factoring and just explain factoring to those who have never been exposed to it. And we're going to address the implications on a business when they involve in factoring. And then we're going to have a economic discussion with the industry as a whole. And then we're going to talk about fraud and benefits and anything else you guys have questions about, which you can find Amanda Miller, and she will feed her questions to us. And also make sure you're heading on over to YouTube. That's where everybody is and most of the chatter. So Grace, if you could go first, when you meet someone that's never been involved with factoring before, how do you explain it to people?
Yeah, so I, you know, in trucking, I say, essentially when a carrier takes a load from a broker, they're essentially, once they deliver it, they get a POD. And they would traditionally, you know, mail that or fax it or send it off to a broker and get paid in 30 to 45 days. And that's if everything goes swimmingly and they send over all the proper paperwork and it's great. Or they can utilize a factoring company, and once they deliver, they can get paid same day or next day for a small fee. So, you know, if it's a $1,000 invoice and they factor, they may, you know, have a factoring fee of 3%. So they'll get charged, and then they will, you know, $30 on a $1,000 invoice, and they'll get paid $970 that day in a very simple, you know.
Yeah, very high level.
Right. And we will go and bill the broker or the shipper, and we will wait to get paid.
Now, does your company, dumb question, but is factoring only for carriers?
No. It's many different industries. We specialize in transportation factoring, but we actually do staffing, healthcare, PO. There's many different industries in which factoring takes place. Government contracts is a big one.
I was curious about that. What other industries had factoring? For a while, I thought it was just ours. Like, and it feels as though factoring is such a big thing in our industry, especially for our smaller companies.
Right.
So maybe I'll flip it over to Ian and ask Ian this. Ian, with regards to the invoices that are at issue here or that are relevant to factoring, is it have the loads already been run and the customer owes money to the carrier, or is it future shipments as well?
It's typically going to be those loads that have been delivered. That's when the receivable is created. But a factor may also do a fuel advance. So they may have the rate con, it hasn't been delivered yet. The carrier needs the help, needs the money to get the fuel to deliver it.
Okay.
And we certainly do that. That's over and above, you know, the norm. The norm is very much, you've delivered the load, here's the rate con, here's the bill, away you go, it's payable. But yeah, there's some cases. We do other forms of factoring as well. So we do purchase order finance. So that's where we're putting an advance out to get products. It's outside the transportation sector.
Mm-hmm.
So you're buying finished goods from a contract manufacturer, getting it shipped and delivered to an end customer. So in that case, you're putting money out before everything's complete. So that's another good example. But yeah, in the transportation sector, most of what we do is going to be, it's delivered, it's done.
That's amazing. So with regards to the agreement that carriers have to sign with you guys, like what's the contract like? Like do they have to give you all of their invoices for certain receivables for a certain amount of time, or can they pick and choose?
That's a great question. So it varies, right? And it depends on which factoring company you're working with. And actually, I would say when we're talking about whether factoring is helpful or harmful, that's a huge, you know, that's the contract itself is something that you definitely want to be aware of, because some factoring companies can put in, there are minimums that you have to meet in order, you know, for your effective rate to actually be what it is. Or that you do have to factor everything. And some factoring companies, they offer more flexibility. They'll come in and they'll just factor one customer, one broker or shipper. And you, as you just asked before, is it loads that you deliver today, or is it loads you've already delivered? You could have someone that you're actually working with right now and you're kind of going, I don't know, I'm a little worried. Like at the pay terms, it keeps getting longer and longer and it seems a little riskier. And I don't know why, you know, all of a sudden I'm not getting paid as quickly and I can't really get anyone on the phone. You know, you can bring in a factor to say, hey, can you pay me out on all this aging that I have with this person and future receivables with them, because I have a contract and I'm intending to continue to run with them. But I just got a little scared that maybe they're not going to pay as quickly. And that's really making it tight for me to run my business. So I need a little relief, and it could be short-term relief. It could be long-term. But that's something with the contract that you want to look at. Like, what are the terms of the contract as far as minimums that you would have to factor?
Right.
And if you do have to factor everything.
Right. That's what I would be worried about. I'd be like, oh God, how long do I have to be in this contract? So, Ian, so what, how do you even know, do you have access to the carrier's ELD data or TMS? Like, how do you know they're running shipments with these companies, or do they have to manually send everything to you?
Yeah, we don't have access to their ELDs or anything like that, but we do get their paperwork and we get it electronically so they can scan it in. And as long as we've got a Raycon and a signed bill, we're good to go. We'll do the billing for them and they can just upload everything. It's pretty seamless now. You know, it used to be that we would print stuff off and scan it back in and then mail out the invoice. And thankfully, many brokers don't want paper invoices anymore. As long as the images are good quality, we're good to go. So again, if we've got good images coming in from the carriers, it just speeds everything up. That's how we do it.
Are you guys billing the brokers and the shippers? Or is the carrier billing them and then just letting you guys know?
No.
Most of the time we're billing them. I mean, we can do it if it's a larger carrier or fleet that has, you know, good systems in place. They want to do the billing. We can take assignment of their invoice and their paperwork and they can carry on doing that. But we will sit behind it and obviously monitor the invoices. But you know, smaller owner operators up to 5 trucks, that type of thing, we're typically going to do the billing for them. It's another service. It's another reason to factor. It's less hassle for them that way.
That makes sense.
Right. Yeah. That's the beauty of what we do, that we do this all day long. So we know who to invoice, when to invoice, what email address to use, when, who to call. You know, the carrier themselves, once they finish running the load, they want to get paid. They don't necessarily want to have to figure out in 30, 45 days, like, did I get paid on that load? Did they give me everything that was, did I get paid on the detention? Was the lumper there? You know, who to verify that they got the invoice on time. It's, you know, it's the time value of money. So do you want to keep looking for loads and running your truck and keeping your trucks moving and then let someone else that, this is what we do. We specialize in this, you know, who to invoice and when to do it and to follow up on the collections of it.
Does any factoring company have access to their technology or offer TMS to carriers? I'm just thinking about the show we had last week about dispatch services. And we realized that there was no such thing as real pure dispatch, third-party dispatch service companies. They were often back office services for carriers. So now that you're bringing up back office services as well, I'm kind of wondering, you know, what's the tech look like in your industry? And do you offer TMS and do you want to get the carrier's data? Do you try to be more integrated into their business?
Absolutely. So, you know, we integrate with many different TMSs that carriers do use. So we can do that. And it's funny you ask, because 10 years ago, there was no technology. You know, everybody was paying off of originals. And as Ian mentioned, like, there was so much paper involved. And it was just, it was wild. And then, you know, in the past several years, technology is really, it's boomed. And yes, we're paying off of scanned invoices that come straight through a cell phone. But also, many different TMSs were integrated with. So if you're utilizing one, you know, we were able to get the paperwork that way and factor seamlessly. And it makes it very easy.
You know what I would be worried about?
You have to be streamlined.
Oh, go ahead, Ian, I'm sorry.
I just want to say we have to be streamlined. Otherwise you just drown in paper. You can't, you know, be efficient. And it means that we can keep the rates down as well. So the more tech we can throw at it, the better. And I think the brokers want that too. I mean, you know, I'm sure some brokers don't like factoring companies because we will verify rates, we will do this and that, and you know, it's hassle. So the more streamlined we can be, I think the better for the whole industry.
For sure, because if you guys saw my posts, and when I consult for clients, I end up working with finance a lot. And one of the things we talk about is dispatch services, which we're going to start talking about now again, but factoring services. And for my AP, my clients that have AP departments, that's the first thing they run to me about, is like, we're just overwhelmed with the amount of paperwork. And I work with them to try to streamline that, but I also work with them to try to prevent fraud. So I'm already starting to think of fraud with what you guys are explaining. And if I was in your seat, I would want to be integrated and in the carrier's business as much, because how else would I know that they have given me a real shipment?
Right.
Does that make sense? Or I'm like a newbie, so...
Yeah. It's about verification, and you know, paperwork does get falsified, unfortunately, and some people can get very creative with electronic copies as well. We've seen it. So, you know, verifying with brokers is very important for us. You know, some carriers might forget they took a fuel advance. And so now we don't have a load for $1,000, it's only $500. We're only going to find that by verifying with the broker because the carrier may have forgotten to tell us. So, you know, lots of stuff can happen. Fraud is definitely there. A biggest risk, one of the biggest risks that a factor faces as well is that, you know, the broker can accidentally pay the carrier. Mm-hmm. And even though we've given a notice of assignment, even though the invoice says to pay us, mistakes can happen. Or the carrier can call them up and say, hey, send the check to us. That's fraud. So we have to be very vigilant about that all the time.
Right.
I put in my carrier contracts a lot of terms to protect brokers and shippers from factoring mistakes and things like that, so that they're not liable for those mistakes. But one thing I work with brokers and shippers on is to make sure that the notices that they're receiving from factoring companies are truly factoring companies.
Right.
Because I think that everybody gets bogged down with admin and they're moving so fast, you could easily falsify and pretend that you're a factoring company. You're not really. And then the broker ends up paying you. You're not a real factoring company. You probably could pull that off for a couple weeks. On a bunch of loads and then disappear. So that's one thing that I tried to help brokers with. What other types of fraud are you guys constantly trying to combat, or the industry as a whole in factoring is trying to combat?
You know, we get carriers that, you know, or they set up fake brokerages. You know, they submit invoices as a carrier to this broker. We verify with the broker. They say, yes, these are loads, and, you know, we're going to pay them. You end up paying this carrier that set themselves up and is very much related to the broker, the fraud broker. And obviously then when you expect to get paid on the receivables and you don't, you know, it's not an actual brokerage. So it's really important that we're verifying the brokerages themselves as well. But in that same tune, it's like sometimes I believe that working with a factoring company, we do identify fraud really quickly. And especially on the carrier side, if a legit carrier ran a load for a fraud broker, for a broker who set himself as a working broker, and he took this load and he actually hauled it. But you know, and we're like, this isn't actually the broker, you know, they're presenting themselves as TQL or someone, you know, another industry, but that they are not. And so, you know, we're able to mitigate risk in that sense too.
What did I do? I think that was last week. Weeks are starting to like mesh into each other. I had a class about, or an episode about fraudulent raycons. And because that's becoming more and more popular, where a broker is being, their identity is being stolen by fraudsters. Mm-hmm. And carriers don't even know it. And they think they're running a load for Cassandra Logistics, and they're not. They're running a load for fraudster who's getting paid by the shipper, and then the carrier's out of money. So it's a very interesting world. We have quite a few questions that have come in. I think one of them we answered. One of them asked us what other industries there are that have factoring. I think you guys named quite a few. And you yourselves are, I think, Ian, you said you're in other industries, not just...
We do a lot of different sectors. I mean, it's more about what we don't do. We don't do construction. We don't do medical. That's just by choice, because with construction, it can get very contractual very quickly. Mm-hmm. Medical, if you're talking about insurance receivables, there's a lot of fraud in that, and we're not experts at it. So we stay out of those sectors. Anything else we'll do, as long as there's a commercial receivable on credit terms. So, and as Grace mentioned, you know, staffing's a great sector for factors, just like trucking, because you've got very easy to identify debt that is complete. There's a timesheet. Oh. You know, the person worked those number of hours. So staffing is huge. And yeah, it's great. And similar to transportation, it tends to drive the advance rate up, which is good for the client. So factors will do higher advance rates for truckers and staffing companies because it's clean debt. And it pushes the rate down as well. So, you know, it's getting highly developed both for trucking and staffing. And outside of that, you know, manufacturing's great. It can be anything and everything if there's a commercial receivable. So obviously things like apparel and textiles, they're the traditional markets that have always been around in the States anyway for factoring.
I'm checking out some of these comments here. We have quite a few people with us on YouTube, and they're very chatty. I love it. We've got Jason with us. We've got John. We've got Justin. We've got quite a few Justins. Jess Tibb is with us. She was with us last week. Kimberly. It seems like we have a lot of folks who have quite a bit of experience with factoring. And here is another question from Thomas, who's one of our favorite Metropolis people. Why are factoring companies not holding their carriers responsible for informing brokers of deliveries before the brokers get the paperwork? Why are factoring companies not holding their carriers responsible for informing brokers of deliveries? Does that question make sense to you guys?
I suppose brokers sometimes get a little annoyed. You know, they want to know when a load delivers. They want to be able to communicate with their customer immediately. Hey, the load's delivered. Everything went well. You know, here's the POD. And it's probably annoying sometimes that the factor can get the paperwork more quickly than the broker can.
I'd be annoyed too.
Yeah. But you know, yeah. We're pretty quick and timely about turning it right around as well. So it's not, you know, I can understand that, but on the flip side of that, if there's any claim issues, if there's any concerns with the load delivering, oftentimes the factor can be a liaison and can talking to the carrier and figuring out like, where is the load and what's going on with the load? And is there an issue? And what's, you know, so brokers will utilize us sometimes to kind of help in talking with our clients, because we do have a relationship with the carrier and they do want to get paid, and they will kind of oftentimes talk to us to try and get those issues resolved.
That's a really great benefit. I think that I have leaned on factoring companies to help me when a carrier is holding a load hostage.
Yes.
When a carrier is non-responsive to a cargo claim.
Yes.
Or simply not paying a cargo claim. I think that there have been a couple other things that I've had to lean on the factoring company for help with regards to that type of stuff. Is there anything else, any other benefits that brokers and shippers should know about that they could lean on the factoring companies for help? Or are those the main ones?
Well, getting the paperwork in general. I mean, just as he mentioned, you know, he'd love to know when it delivers. I mean, how much time do brokers spend actually chasing PODs?
Yeah.
You know, and a factor, traditionally, we get them pretty quickly and we'll send them over very quickly. So, you know, that's a huge benefit as well.
Do you guys have an internal? It definitely is. Do you guys have an internal, like, rating system for brokers and shippers? Or anything
we do, in terms of approving them. Yeah, so you know, if we've got to be able to approve them, if we're doing non-recourse, so we're credit guaranteeing the broker, then we have to have an approval rating. And you know, for us it's pretty simple. It's denied, approved, or call us. And the call us can mean a number of different things. Maybe there's some issues with the credit that's come out through credit reference agencies. Maybe we're seeing some slowdown in payments. You know, it can be anything. But ultimately, yeah, we do rate them because we want to be able to approve them, so we have to rate them accordingly. But we get our information from lots of different places, and a lot of it nowadays is based on payment performance. You know, so if there's
That's
some issue going
thinking.
On.
Like, how fast are the brokers and shippers paying? Do you have an internal way of looking at that?
I remember
one time someone said that they didn't want to piss off a factoring company because they didn't want to have, like, some kind of bad rating. And I was like, what are they talking about? Or was that nonsense?
Right. Well, it does filter through because we get the payment information. You know, we know through credit sources how quickly they're paying other factors. So if there's an issue, could be a disputed load, you know, that's holding stuff up, it will distort the numbers a bit. So we have to dig in and find out what's really going on. But yeah, I get that.
What are those resources? Like D&B? Or is it your own?
It's our own.
People are asking.
Right.
Sorry,
and, no, you're good. I was just going to say too, though, if a broker or a customer that a carrier is working with doesn't pay and the aging continues to increase, we would potentially say, hey, you're not going to be able to work with this broker anymore, this shipper anymore. And if that's the case, and all of a sudden, all of the carriers that we factor for aren't able to run, that could have adversely affect their ability to cover loads, right? Now, all of a sudden, we're not able to factor those loads. They're like, whoa, what's going on with that broker?
Yeah.
If all of a sudden, you know, Eagle can't work with them or OTR can't work with them. And so it's like, you know, that's a lot of carriers will say, like, I trust my factoring company's system. And if they wouldn't work with them, I kind of don't want to work with them either. Because again, you know, a carrier might be working with a factoring company that says, you don't have to factor everything with me. You can choose to run that book, you know, and take the risk and bill it and pay it, you know, and wait for the payment yourself. But if we wouldn't, if we're not working with them, do you want to? It's, you know, and a lot of our carriers will say, you know, I don't, you know, because it's not like our restrictions are such as we don't want to have to say we can't factor something. Why would we want to do that? That makes sense. So we want to be able to work with everybody.
You're exactly right. And we have the same. I mean, we don't like to deny a broker for any reason, but if they're not paying or we're seeing a slide going on and they're not catching up, then we have to. And it can be, you know, useful because it can focus their attention. You can get everything sorted out. But the last thing we want to do, like you said, is not fund the client and cause an issue. You know, sometimes we can help the carrier by handling the paperwork, billing the broker, but not funding it, just collecting it for them. We do that. And that kind of helps. But at the end of the day, they want the money and we want to be able to provide it for them.
Okay. So I want to pause for a moment for those. I have a lot of folks because it's end of the year, end of the quarter, end of the month that they're working and listening at the same time. So for my brokers and my carriers, what I'm hearing, for my brokers and my shippers, what I'm hearing is there is some type of internal, all these factoring companies have an internal rating for how fast you're paying carriers. And is there, I don't know if you guys can answer this or not, or maybe you can speak in general terms. Do most factoring companies have their own, like, personal ability to review, like a rep could give a shipper or broker like 3 stars or 4 stars or something like that? Or do you guys just not know?
Yeah, I mean, you've got a history of working with these brokers and shippers, absolutely. And we also have a great relationship with the carriers. We typically know how they feel, you know, as well. So is there a way to do that? You know, absolutely. Is it, you know, is it something that we take into account? But again, at the end of the day, we want to be able to work with everybody. So as much as we can rate them and we, you know, it's still all about keeping carriers running, allowing them to work with as many brokers and shippers as they can. So it doesn't bode well for us to necessarily cut them off either or find reasons to rate them low. But it's just that if they aren't paying and it becomes an issue or for whatever reason it's elongated, it's like, you know, that's an, you know, that potentially could cause a shift in like their ability to find coverage for freight if we have to put them on a no-buy list.
Right. What do you do about a brand new broker or a brand new, well, there's not many brand new shippers really, but a brand new broker. What do you do about those? Do you wait and give it like 6 months to see what kind of data you'll get?
You might put a provisional limit on it. We might do that and then monitor it real close, just see. For us, it's talking to the carrier, like Greg said, about, you know, how much are you wanting to haul for these people? How far do we need to approve them based on what credit information we have? I mean, we can take all sorts of references and do all sorts of things. It comes down to, are they going to pay on time or not? So can we establish a good relationship with that broker? If we can, great, we're going to feel comfortable. And if they can keep paying on time, we can keep growing the limit because we've got more experience now. So that's typically how we go with it. If it's brand new, sometimes we're going to have to take a flyer because there's no information on them. You know, sometimes we're going to have to do it and say, look, we'll fund you, but we'll do it on a recourse basis, meaning we can't credit guarantee it until we've got a track record. So again, it's about, as Grace said, trying to get the money for the client, for the shipper, but not put ourselves at undue risk if we have no information about the broker. You know, it's a difficult risk.
When you say no recourse, what does that mean? Does that mean like you can claw back the money if they didn't pay?
Yeah, so there's two main types of factoring, recourse and non-recourse. With non-recourse, the factor covers the credit, if you like. So the trucker, the shipper, doesn't need to worry about the actual credit risk because we're taking it. With recourse, it's the opposite. We're not going to credit cover that broker, and it's at your risk, Mr. Carrier. And we can do recourse, obviously cheaper than we can do non-recourse because that credit element isn't on us. But in transportation, most people want non-recourse because, again, the smaller truckers certainly don't want the hassle. They want to be able to deliver the load, us handle the paperwork, they get paid, and that's the last they have to think about it. They don't want to hear, in a month's time, I'm sorry, they went out of business, we want our money back.
Right.
So non-recourse is really important to them. But recourse is also important, typically for the larger fleets we find, and also outside of transportation, most of what we do is recourse. And it enables us to fund some of the lower credit customers, because like you said, if there's no history, mm-hmm. but now if we've got a pool of receivables, lots of different customers, we've got a spread of risk. It's much different to just having one customer, one load. So those are the main differences, whether we're on risk for credit or not.
That makes sense. This is super interesting. And it does feel like there's quite a bit of value for carriers, especially it is probably risky working with brokers and shippers that you've never worked with before. So I think that that aspect is interesting. What is the downfall for carriers using factoring companies? Besides, I'm sure there's a cost. Like how much, what's the general range for the cost?
Yeah, it's different than it was when we first started. I mean, the rates were, 4 or 5-ish percent, almost 10 years ago, 6%. And again, it was paying off of originals and there was really no technology and it was all, traditionally recourse as well. And so now, the rates are much lower. Non-recourse is much more prevalent. Carriers, I do want to point out though, oftentimes carriers will get confused. Well, it's non-recourse. So once you fund me my $1,000 or $970 and you get paid, if there's any short pays, they're kind of like, it's not my fault, it's non-recourse. Well, the carrier is still obligated to deliver the load per the contract. So if they were 2 days late and now there's a late deduction on it that we couldn't verify up front, or the broker, didn't realize it was late and it short pays by $200, you would go back to the carrier and say, hey, carrier, you're going to owe me $200 for that load. So chargebacks and short pays can be an issue if they're working with a factor that doesn't verify up front. That's why you definitely, as a carrier, you want to make sure, how much is this factoring company actually going to do for me? Are they taking these invoices at face value? And sometimes that's great. Like, oh, just pay me what I was contracted to do. But on the back end, that can cause a lot of hardship for the carrier if all of a sudden they're constantly getting charged back for issues related to billing. As far as lumpers, layovers, detentions, issues that now they're going to have to, whether you're recourse or non-recourse, you'll have to pay those back. And they can pile up quickly, and especially for a small carrier, that can be very a huge hardship.
And it causes a lot of aggravation, doesn't it? And in the relationship, because, they think non-recourse means doesn't matter what, the factor is going to cover it. And it doesn't, because if there is a shortage, there's damages or something that comes out later, then unfortunately, non-recourse doesn't cover that kind of stuff. It covers the credit risk. So if the broker goes out of business, you're fine. But if there's a shortage, a deduction, that kind of thing that's out with our control, then that's on you. But you're right about the rates. And I mean, it's been almost a race to the bottom. I remember when it was like 93% advance, 7% fee. Then it shifted to 95.5, and now it's 97.3. And so the rate has come down, which is a good thing for the carriers. Right. And it's off competition, but also technology that's come in that's enabled us as factors to be able to handle more. So, we've been able to get efficiencies as well. But in the space of 10 years, I think I've seen the rate slide from 7% down to 3. And you can see lower. I mean, we have a 1.95 program. So that's pretty good. If you're going to get non-recourse, all the billing, all of that stuff thrown in, I joke with the carrier sometimes that all you got to do is find the load and drive the truck. We'll take care of the rest. So it's still, I think it's a great thing. I mean, we love our truckers, and it's they're the hardworking people that are out there, particularly at the minute. They're putting themselves at all sorts of risks, and if I was a trucker, I would factor, put it that way.
Okay. This is so enlightening.
It's much more affordable than it's ever been before. I mean, as far as what you get for it. And when you think about factoring companies aren't, just factoring companies, or they shouldn't be. You know, there's so many more services that you can get with a factoring company as well. But as Ian mentioned, with the rates, they are lower and lower. But if the rates almost seems too good to be true, it probably is. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we talked about the contract before, and I want to mention fees. You know, be looking out for the fees, because if it seems low, maybe there are, you know, minimums, or it's a tiered rate, or if the invoice doesn't pay in 90 days, it's actually going to go up to this rate or that, you know. And so you really want to understand, as a carrier, when you're talking about working with a factoring company and how it can get harmful, you really want to understand, what are my terms? Because when someone calls you up and says less than 1% to factor your invoices, you know,
yeah,
what does that really mean?
Yeah,
what does that really mean?
Man, that's a good point. My mind is spinning. I actually have in my head already like 20 questions, but I want to not be selfish. So I want to go through, because we have a ton of questions. Amanda Miller, our favorite Medtropolis flatbed broker based in Alabama, she's been helping fielding some of these questions. She also has the link for everybody to go over to YouTube, because what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to cut off the feed to every other social media, and we're just going to stay on YouTube. We're going to go through the questions, and I also have questions about factoring for shippers and brokers themselves. And then if we have time, we'll open the floor. So Amanda Miller has a link to Zoom. If you want to come on and have a mic and ask our experts questions, if you don't mind, I'd love to keep the experts for another 20 minutes or so, if you guys don't mind. If you guys have to go, just wave and say goodbye too. It's no big deal. So what I'm going to do is give me 1 second while I cut off the feed. And everybody, if you're on LinkedIn, you're on Twitter, or you're on Facebook, I would encourage you to go to YouTube, because that's a better forum for everybody. And Amanda Miller will filter your questions and whatnot. So let's turn off Facebook. Let me turn off LinkedIn. Okay. All right. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to go through some of these questions. I actually did not expect to have so many questions. I think that people find this a very interesting topic, as I do as well. Let's see. I want to pop over. Somebody has asked, I'm just going to shoot off questions, you guys, and we'll figure out if we want to answer them or not, or we're like, whatever. Why is factoring so expensive, Andrew asks, especially considering, in my experience, a very low non-payment rate from shippers and brokers. Is it a low non-payment rate, you guys? Is it low risk?
It varies. There can be, you know, issues with non-payment, especially at the minute. Again, we've seen brokers go out of business. We've seen, you know, bond companies go out of business, which has impacted on brokers, several brokers. So I don't think at the minute it's necessarily a low risk of non-payment. And again, cost-wise, I think we've already talked about it. I think it's got a lot more affordable, and that's due to competition. But Grace is right. You know, you don't want to deal with somebody that's got hidden extras. You've got to check that contract. You've got to ask them, are there any extras that they charge for? So the headline rate may not be exactly what you pay. You've got to do your homework. But I don't think it's particularly expensive. But I don't think it's linked either to non-payment. I mean, if we have bad debts, that's on us, because we haven't done our credit checking well, right? It doesn't mean we're going to pass the cost in terms of price increases to our clients.
Right. Great points there. And I forgot to tell everybody at Medtropolis this, because Andrew Teal asked a really good question that I've been dying to ask you guys for the last 30 minutes. I've just been waiting to the right time. So Teal is one of our famous Medtropolis shippers. Next Wednesday, you guys, at 2:00 here on YouTube Live, me, Andrew Teal, and Ryan Schreiber, we're going to break down the technology of the industry. Do you guys know how you hear companies say that, oh, we're a digital freight broker, or we're a marketplace, or we're a load board, or whatever, and then you actually dig into their operations and you're like, you're just a broker, or you're not, what are you talking about? You're not a marketplace. I want to break that down with Andrew and Ryan. So what we're going to do is, Ryan's an expert on tech. He's with Carrier Direct, and he's going to talk to us about how he analyzes companies' technology and how he labels them as a load board TMS, digital freight broker, I hate that term, or a marketplace. And then Andrew Teal is going to talk to us about his company's technology, and we're all going to guess what it is, which one it is. But so that's Wednesday. But next Friday, listen closely, because I have a surprise for everybody for next Friday. I have the CEO of US Express is going to join us next Friday, and Eric Fuller. And I'm going to talk to him about his digital fleet. Digital seems to be a popular word these days. So join us then at 2 o'clock. If you're on my email chain or you follow me on social media, you'll already, I'll put out the links after this show so you can pre-register for those events. But I'm very excited to have both of those shows tomorrow. So I wanted to remember to tell everybody that. All right, sorry about the intro. But so Andrew Teal, he's the one who reminded me of this. So he asked the question that I have been dying to ask you guys. He says, given that factoring is a financial tool or vehicle for companies, what fiduciary / SEC / banking regulations apply? What's the federal financial regulations at play here? It's okay if you guys don't know the answer, by the way. But I wanted to bring this up at some point in time in our discussion. I don't know who wants to take the floor first.
I can start.
Yeah, go ahead, Ian.
Whatever.
Go for it, Ian. Go
we're not regulated by, you know, many things. We have an industry body called the International Factoring Association or Secured Finance Network, whichever we belong to. But so there's a code of ethics there, but we're not regulated. And the reason for that is we're technically not a lender. We purchase debt. So our agreement is a purchase and sale agreement. So that enables us to, if you like, sidestep some of the banking regulations that are out there and all those things. So, you know, it doesn't mean you do have to do your homework, because there are some, you know, good factors, some really good factors, and some less good factors, because we're not as regulated as some other industries. So that's the big difference.
Ian and Grace, everyone is always surprised to hear what there's basically no regulation and for factoring. But you're right. It's because they kind of view you guys as a bank, but you're not holding people's money.
Right.
And you're not lending it. In a way, it's your money, you're paying for somebody else's receivables. So when you think of it that way, it kind of makes sense, but it still blows everybody's mind. Which, so Grace, do you happen to know that if I wanted to open my own factoring company, it's going to be called Cassandra Gaines, Mad Money, fastmoney.com, I don't know. What do I need?
That's a great name. Yes.
What do I need? I just need cash, right? Do I need to file for like, I mean, I'll file with the state of Arizona where I am for a corporation. I don't think I need any licensing, do I? Does anybody know?
No, it's factoring's easy to get into, I guess, if you have the capital. And that's an argument, you know, it's anybody could purchase someone's invoices, essentially, right? But do you really understand what you're purchasing? Do you really understand the industry? Do you really understand who you're working with and for? And, you know, as a carrier, you know, no, it doesn't matter what your credit is. It's easier to work with a factoring company than go through a traditional bank line where they are going to care about your credit. And it is a lot harder to get access to money. But a factoring company will come in and say, yeah, I'll purchase your receivables. And so if you've got money, oh, it's easy to be, you know, Mad Money Factoring. But yeah. But it's not, because you don't really know what you're doing. And it's a few, you know, write-offs and major issues and fraud. And you realize that you just purchased really bad debt and you're not going to get paid back. So, you know, it's not like a fly by the seat of your pants. Anybody just hops into factoring.
Yeah.
Right. And there is a bit of regulation that's creeping in a couple of states. California, the Department of Business Oversight, you know, they are looking at factors. They're requiring them to have a California lender's license. And that used to be true just if you were based in California. So if you're a factor in California, it's kind of a given. You need a California lender's license. So you have some regulation there.
Yeah.
Now, if you're a factor and you're not in California, but you have a California-based client, then the Department of Business Oversight will require you to have a California lender's license. So that's looking as though New York may follow suit as well. The American Factoring Association's lobbying to slow that down because we enjoy not being regulated. It doesn't mean we want to be cowboys. We're self-regulated. But, you know, it's looking likely as though there will be some regulation creeping in as well. And there's also some, I guess, from the broker side. You know, I mean, you have to be an approved factor to work with C.H. Robinson, for example.
Okay.
You know, so you can't just start and then expect to factor debt for C.H. Robinson. You've got to be able to knock on the door and say, hey, let me in. So there's a little bit of that.
You know, for a while, I think it was last year or the year before, I had a lot of people reaching out about questions, brokers, and a couple shippers. And they were saying like, Cassandra, we want to factor. We want to offer like quick pay options to carriers and factor to our carriers that use us as well. And I remember looking into it and I was like, well, shoot, man. I mean, you've got the UCC, but that's not really, it doesn't really govern you. We use the UCC. You can use the UCC, obviously, you file for protection as a factoring company with the UCC, but it's not really a governing law. So I thought that was pretty interesting that you can literally just start being a factoring company. Like you said, there's a lot of risk with it, and it's difficult, yep. But it's pretty free reign. Probably because you have to have a lot of capital to even start one. You have to be sophisticated maybe to begin with. I don't know. I'm just throwing that out.
You know, in regards to trucking, reputation matters. You know, carriers talk and, you know, they want to be treated well. And as it applies to money, it's personal. You know, you need to be taken care of well. And carriers do talk to one another. And especially, you know, small fleet carriers, 60 to 70% probably factor. You know, they might have someone at home that does their billing for them. But again, you know, it's just as easy to send all of your invoices to one place where those fees are, you know, tax deductible as well as a business expense, versus sending them to, you know, many different brokers and trying to get quick paid by many different brokers. And you still have to figure out where are those invoices going. Did I actually get quick paid? Is it going to take 2 days or is it going to take 5 days? So, you know, yeah, you can get quick paid by brokers as well. And some carriers do. Again, you might have the flexibility to quick pay brokers that offer that and then factor the remaining of your invoices. Mm-hmm. But,
makes sense. Yeah. Andrew Teal had another great question. He's really full of a lot of good questions. He's very smart. What is the size of the factoring industry? Do you guys happen to know, like how big is this industry? How much money is involved? And if you guys don't know, it's okay. I'll at some point in time.
There are statistics available on that. I'm not going to throw a number out, but I mean, it's a global industry. So almost every country in the world has some form of factoring. There are some exceptions, but it takes different forms. But here in the States, again, there's no, I mean, obviously the industry bodies that I mentioned, they will have surveys each year and invite their members to fill them out and send them back. Not everybody does. So there's no great way of telling exactly what the numbers are because not everybody contributes. So, you know, it's massive. I mean, there's thousands of factoring companies in North America and they range from the small mum and pup that are just starting and, mm-hmm. and you know, doing it by the seat of their pants because they've got some money and they think they can do it well, through to the massive people, you know, CIT, Wells, you name it. So it's a very diverse industry. I mean, for me, it was a big learning curve coming from the UK. The industry was dominated by four main banks and a couple of independents. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's a massive factoring market. Everybody mm-hmm. knows what factoring is. Here in the States, the geography is so different. The banking network is so different. Lots of people have never heard of it outside of transportation, outside of staffing, because there isn't that market penetration in terms of every industry sector like there are in other.
Yeah.
So, but there are some stats available.
We'll have to look those up, Andrew, at some point in time, because I think this is so cool. Okay, so somebody, these questions are really good. I'm trying to figure out which one to pick first. But I was curious about this one. This one's from Troy Andrews. I was curious about this one as well. Is there a stigma of carriers using factoring companies, thinking like maybe the brokers or shippers think the carrier's in trouble, so they may not want to deal with a carrier that may be in financial trouble? I've always wondered that. Do you guys have to combat that at all?
I think for the smaller carrier, it's pretty, common that they're factored because we do provide that back office solution for them, and it's so much easier for larger fleet carriers. You know, as Ian mentioned before, oftentimes they will do their own billing, you know, and simply most of the time brokers and shippers don't even realize that they're ultimately paying, that the, you know, where those payments are going are actually to a factoring company, because they don't necessarily you know, they don't want anyone to think necessarily that they are having an issue. But I think it's becoming more and more common, especially as for a fleet carrier, why would you bring in a factor? You know, when you think about overhead and training and computers and providing PTO and time off, and oh, now they've been here a year, they want a raise, they need, you know, they need time off. And so, or you bring in a factoring company and we're here 7 days a week and this is all we do. And so you can allow us to kind of handle that, especially if we can integrate with your TMS, like we'll do the back office, you know, billing for you. And that's where I think so many larger trucking companies recognize now that, like, looking at it as a factoring company, oh, they're coming in, I must need saving, or it's definitely a cash flow issue. No, not at all. It's that it's actually easier for me to let these guys do what they do best. And I don't have to deal with the personnel and the overhead and the, you know, cost of keeping these people on board and training them. And it actually, you know, especially with rates being what they are, it's smart, you know?
Yeah. Oh, that makes so much sense. I never thought of that. For those of you on YouTube, it put in the comments if you as a broker or as a shipper would apply stigma if you saw a carrier, especially a carrier with maybe 100 trucks, 200, 300 trucks or more using a factoring company. Is that something, is that a real concern for brokers and shippers? I think most of the companies that I have consulted for or worked for personally, I feel often those who make the decision on the carriers, they don't even know if the carriers are factoring. They really don't.
Right.
Because the AP department, AP department often doesn't really talk to the compliance and to the sales department. So nobody really knows, really. I could be wrong about that. So that was a really good question. Here's another one that I loved. How about when there is a dispute because the bill lading doesn't match to like a T, or if the bill lading is signed in the wrong place? How do you guys handle those situations? How picky are you?
So we have to review the paperwork, and yeah, it depends. I mean, look, we're all human. Sometimes we can't spot everything if it's a small discrepancy. We may only find out later on once the invoice has been submitted and it's thrown out, but we should catch most things. I mean, the obvious stuff like, you know, the rate con's in a different company name. You know, it's stuff that we should catch as a factor and handle at the front end so that we will push back to the carrier and say, hey, get this fixed, and then we can fund you. So we have that big stick that they won't get their money until the paperwork's exactly right, or if they're missing something and we need it, whether it's a lump or receipt, whatever it is, we're going to hold them to that because we want the quality of our invoice when it's submitted to the broker to be exceptional and be paid. And that should be a benefit for the broker. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we do get discrepancies with paperwork. Usually, I mean, it's not so bad these days because the scanners are better, but it used to be that you couldn't read the stuff. And so it would get rejected because the broker can't read it and neither can we. And that's on us then to make sure that, you know, again, it's quality.
Great point. Okay, so let me see. I didn't even think that you guys would be doing, that's a lot of work. And I'm trying to think, because there are a couple of people in the comments that are saying, you know, it's the only tough thing, it's the rate verification calls and all the paperwork and phone calls that brokers and shippers have to deal with factoring companies.
And I would argue with that, if I may, that yes, we do call and we do verify. But as Ian just mentioned, I think the trade-off of that is you can pick up the phone on the front end while we verify, right? And say, yes, it's all good, delivered. You send me what I need now. And we do, and we should. And the good factor will like make sure then we do our part and now we deliver the invoice and we deliver all the proper paperwork and it's right there. Or you could not verify it. And then the carrier or ourselves are gonna call and ask, why was it short paid? Why is there an issue? Why? So you either take the call before or you take the call after, but it's gonna be a call. And it's gonna either be a call from the factor or it's gonna be a call from the carrier. But but you're still going to take the call. So in my opinion, I'm like, hey, help us verify it up front and we'll make sure we get it billed properly. You won't deal with us again after this, you know, and, or the carrier, you know, and everybody's happy. Just,
it's a great argument.
Exactly. I think you're exactly right. And if there's a portal available, great. We'll use the portal. Right. You know, everybody benefits at that point, don't they? So if the technology gets so far that so many brokers have portals that we can go in and use, fantastic. You know, it helps everybody. But Grace, you're right. I mean, we will have more problems on the back end than the front end. So there is no way around it, unfortunately, because we have to make sure that everything's right.
These questions are just so good. I'm sorry. They're just, okay, hold on a minute. There was one that was really good that I saw because I thought the same thing. Okay, well, how do you guys handle when a broker pays a carrier accidentally instead of paying you guys?
The first thing is we have to call the carrier and say, hey, you got the money, you need to give it to us. Mm-hmm. You know, it does happen. And that's where, again, we're doing the collection work. We're following up to make sure that, you know, they have us down as the factor of record for that carrier, and that way it shouldn't happen, but it does happen. And it does happen, unfortunately, that certainly with the smaller owner operators, that maybe they get the check, maybe that was the only load we factored that we had outstanding, and maybe we just can't get hold of them now, and they've got the money. They've got 197% of that load. Yeah. That's a problem. So yeah, it's part of what we do. We have to police that debt and make sure that the broker is going to pay us directly. But we work with the carrier first to get the money sent to us. Mm-hmm. If we can't, technically we have right to go back to the broker and say, I'm sorry, but you paid the wrong party. But are we going to do that? 9 times out of 10, no. Okay. You know, it's something we're going to work with our client on. And if it's an ongoing client relationship, we can get the money back from other loads or non-factored cash, all sorts of ways we can try and get around that problem. But if it's an underlying thing and maybe the broker won't pay a factor, well, that's then a reason that we have to deny that broker moving forward. But we do get alerts if brokers pay over notice, as we call it, things like that. So we have to monitor it closely.
Makes sense. I think most brokers that I've worked for, they take factoring companies very seriously. They try their hardest to keep up with everything. It's just that I don't know if you guys have ever had to sit down on an AP department's desk at a brokerage or a shipper. You probably have, but you can see the volume is insane. Of the factoring companies, like factoring companies you've never heard of, and they'll sit there and tell me like, oh, this one is super aggressive, this one is, she's really mean, or this one's really nice, she's helped me out with a cargo claim before, right. Or da 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 da, and it's like, it's amazing what goes on. And I'm always telling my AP departments, I'm like, okay, you guys are learning so much about the factoring companies these carriers are using. Are you talking to other departments in your company about the like all the information you're collecting and da da da, and it's just, I try to get everybody to talk to each other internally, because it helps a lot. So give me 1 second, because we still have I'm going to ask you guys a couple more questions, and then I'll give you guys a break, because this has been a very intense. Give me 1 second. This is an interesting one. I don't know how you guys are going to answer this. And it's okay if you're like, we have no thoughts. This one's from Chris Todd and another Mad Trapless favorite. What does the panel think about factors tied to load boards, like load pay / internet truck stop, or other big players, consolidators? Like, are they looking to push the percent down to 1%? Or do you guys have any thoughts about doing that? Or are you yourselves doing that out of convenience?
Yeah, I mean,
it's right. I do see factoring companies. Sorry to cut you off. I do see factoring companies involved with load boards and marketplaces and whatever else.
Right, and it makes sense, right? Because you want to keep your carriers moving. So if your carriers are moving, they're factoring. Hand in hand, you know, they need insurance, they need loads, they need factoring, and then they're going to run a successful trucking business. So yes. Do we work and, we offer load options to our carriers as well, because we want them to take the best freight and we want them to understand what's going on in the market. as well. That's, I mean, that's a little separate. Like we try and let carriers know, like, what's going on? Is it tight? Should you ask for more money? Should you not? Here's what's going on. And then as far as load boards, I think it makes sense. I mean, you want your carriers to continue to run. It's not, factoring isn't just that they need cash flow and that they're struggling. It's that they need more so now. It's that they're a back office and now they need other tools to keep them running and successful. So when I said before, factoring companies aren't traditionally just factoring companies anymore. You were trying to offer other services that help trucking companies succeed. And mm-hmm. yeah, load board would be one of them.
Many of us from a broker shipper perspective often are just baffled by how little cash carriers have. They don't even have cash for fuel. And it utterly baffles me. And I'm gonna have an honest moment with you guys for just a minute. This is me thinking out loud. This is not me kind of being critical. But at times, there have been people who will say, and YouTube, my YouTube friends, maybe you should pop into the comments if you agree or disagree. But sometimes we need factoring companies to keep the trucks moving, right? But if we didn't have factoring companies, would we have less bottom feeder carriers? At Metropolis, we talk a lot about bottom feeder carriers. They're the carriers who are fly by the night. They've hopped in the truck. They're brand new and they're not going to stick around for long, but they mm-hmm. give good carriers a bad name. And often if there wasn't a factoring company at all available to these carriers, maybe they simply wouldn't ever enter the industry or wouldn't be able to survive as long because you got to have money, you got to save. So that's a big argument that's often made here at Metropolis. We're always trying to figure out how do we do better with this bottom feeder problem.
They might be giving factoring companies too much credit because the bottom feeder carrier is not going to stay in business because of a factor. I mean, right. they're going out of business. Believe me, like we see them come and we see them go as well. So, and you know, if anything, I would say I will happily help communicate to any of those carriers out there in the world, like, don't take that load. Why are you taking that load so cheap? You're ruining it for everyone else. Like, if everybody can stop taking that rate, you know,
they don't have that problem now.
Right. So, you know, I don't think we are keeping those guys in business because I assure you we see them come and go as well. And we wish, you know, they weren't taking those rates either and like to tell them, hey, listen, you're running that lane and that's, you're running that low. So, that's my.
I agree. I don't think we enable them. I think, you know, if we weren't here, then there would be somebody stepping in to take the void, whether it's a quick pay type solution that comes in. I don't know, but look, they've got to pass certain criteria for us to be able to approve them in the first place. So they've got to have their authority. Mm. They've got to be compliant with all of that stuff. And then don't forget, we're going to be scrutinizing that load. So, you know, by the time the paperwork gets through to the brokers, we've said before, it should be a good load, right? Everything should be okay. But there are, yes, bottom feeders. We have clients that will literally be at the truck stop screaming for us to load their fuel card so they can get the cash on the previous load and carry on. Those are people who are living too close to the wind. But they have this thought that the next load, they'll be fine. But they don't realize, like Grace said, that the margin is too thin and they're actually not making money on it. And they're doing anything just to keep going. And it's sad. But do we enable that? I guess you could argue that we do to some degree because they rely on us to keep the money flowing, which we do. But I don't think that's certainly not what we're intending to do. We're here obviously to help them grow, help them survive for sure. But you know, they have to at least pass some test for us to be able to prove them in the first place.
Mm-hmm. Honestly, I know I keep saying this, but these questions are just unreal. What I encourage everybody to do who's on YouTube is to make sure that you're making friends with everybody else who's chatting. The live chat will be available again in 12 hours. It takes 12 hours for YouTube to process, and then you can rewatch it and you can see the live chat. And I'm sure that your panelists will probably go in and maybe answer some additional questions in a few days, right, in YouTube. That'd be cool because there's so many good questions. We can't keep going. One last, final, very hard question. Do you guys sell your data? I saw that about 5 times in here, and we talk about data a lot at Madtropolis, because you guys do have very valuable data.
Or you can speak
in general, by the way, in the industry, instead of just yourselves and your companies.
I'd say, data right now is huge, right? Everybody wants it. You know, if it's in, you know, I would be lying if I said we weren't asked for it. And obviously we can see what's going on in the market. We're paying on thousands of invoices across many different brokers. We can see regions. We can see, you know, where carriers are and what they're getting. And so, are people interested? For sure. Especially now that technology is what it is. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see over the next few years where that goes. I mean, especially with digital freight brokers, you know, they want to know.
That word again.
Yes. What's going on. And so it's interesting because we do have a lot of that. Right now we make that available to our clients, you know, about how well they're doing and market updates and technology. You know, we want to provide them with how well that they're doing in the industry. And especially, you know, whether or not you mentioned the low bottom feeders or whether they're taking those rates, but we want somebody to know that isn't intending to be, that's been doing this for years and years. Like, how are you running right now compared to what we're seeing when we're purchasing invoices?
So I think that, I think that this has been the most interesting conversation ever. I'm gonna definitely wrap it up, and I want to remind everybody that next Wednesday and Friday, we have really interesting episodes about tech, and our CEO Eric Fuller of US Express is going to join us. Before we go, there's a lot of questions still left in here, and I'll email them to you guys. It's up to you guys if you want to follow up with people. Don't forget to connect with Ian and connect with Grace on LinkedIn. You can easily find them on LinkedIn in my post. You can click on their name because I tagged them myself. Make friends with them, ask them questions, reach out to them. I think they factor both to shippers, brokers, and carriers. So if you need help, go to these guys. They know everything, clearly. And I also want to illuminate I lost what I was about to say. It was going to be really good, I promise you. Thank you. Grace, Ian, thank you guys. This was amazing. This is an amazing episode. I hope that you guys get tons of business off of it because you both deserve it. And have a great weekend.
And so wonderful.
Yeah.
Thanks very much.
Bye.
Drink some beer and hang out. And everybody at Madtropolis, make sure to subscribe to the YouTube so you know when we go live, because next week is going to be a very busy week. So have a great weekend, and thank you very much.
Thank you.